Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is a story of Gauranga accepts the service of his godbrother named Govinda. Aradina Sarvabhoma Adi Bhakta Sange Vasi Achena Mahaprabhu Krishna Katarange. This story comes from Madhya Lila, chapter 10. This is verse 130 to 148. One day, Mahaprabhu sat with all the devotees in Jagannath Puri, headed by Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya, and they were discussing the pastimes of Krishna, Krishna Katha Arange. Hinakali Govindera Haila Agaman Dandavata Kari Kahi Vinaya Vachan. At that time, while everyone was sitting discussing Harikatha in Jagannath Puri, Govinda Das appeared on the scene. He offered his respectful obeisances and spoke submissively. Ishra Puri Rabritya Govinda Moranam Puri Gosanira Agyaya Ainu Tamarstan. I am the servant of Ishra Puri. He was also a disciple and servant. My name is Govinda, and following the orders of my spiritual master, I have come here. Puri Gosai Agya Ami Tamarstan. I have come to your place due to Guru Agya. My Guru has sent me here. So when we have a place which we are sent to by our spiritual master, that place which is given to us by our spiritual master, or sent or arranged for us to be, arranged for us to serve Krishna, that place where Guru sends us to serve Krishna or gives us to serve Krishna, is known as Prabhu Datta Desh. Prabhu means our Guru Prabhu, our Master. He's given us this place, this desh. So he's saying, my Guru has given me this place. He has sent me here to Jagannath Puri. This is my Prabhu Datta Desh. Siddha Prapti Kale Gosai Agya Kaila More Krishna Chaitanya Nikate Rahi Seviya Tanhare. Just before his departure from this mortal world to attain the highest perfection, Siddhi Prapti. Ishwar Puri told me that I should go to Mahaprabhu and render service unto him. So Govinda Das and Sri Krishna Chaitanya, they were also disciples of the same Guru, Ishwar Puri. So when the Guru, Ishwar Puri, was leaving this world, he said, oh, my devotee disciple Govinda, you should serve Mahaprabhu, who's your godbrother. Kashishvara Asi Bena Savatirtha Dekiya Prabhu Agya Muni Ainu Toma Paridan. So now Govinda Das continues speaking to Lord Chaitanya. Kashishvara Pandit will also come here to Jagannath Puri after he visits all the holy places in India. However, following the orders of my spiritual master, Ishwar Puri, I have hastily come to be present at your lotus feet. Gosanika Hila Puri Swara Swara Vatsalya Kare More Kripa Kare Moratani Patahila Tamari. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, my spiritual master Ishwar Puri always favors me with paternal affection. Therefore, out of his causeless mercy, he has sent you here. So this is the... He's saying here, my Guru Maharaj, Vatsalya Kari More. Vatsalya Bhav means parental affection, fatherly love. So they say the Guru is a spiritual father, spiritual master. He's the father of the disciple because he gives the child. Father combines with, Guru combines with disciple. And then the child of bhakti is born in the heart of the disciple. Baby Krishna grows in the heart. So the receiver of that baby, or the mother, you could say, the mother principle is the disciple, and the father is the spiritual master. So this is actually one of the qualities of the spiritual master, that he has a mood of affection, a mood of nourishment, a mood of protection towards his disciples. And this is called the Swarup Lakshana of a Guru. Hari Bhakti Vilas lists the primary sentence of Guru and secondary sentence of Guru. In other words, that's one thing, but it also, what it means to say, it mentions the most highly qualified type of Guru and then less qualified Guru. Most highly qualified Guru is a Guru who is born in a high class Brahmin family of Vaishnav in a Brahmin family. He's considered to be most qualified to be Guru. Of course, that's rare. Many Gurus are Kshatriyas or Vaishyas, whatever. And then another quality, it says that the topmost Guru, he always has this Vatsalya Bhav. He has a mood of parental love for disciples. He cares for his disciples, just like a father cares for his children. Not only the spiritual welfare, which is most important, Guru Nishishyat Pitaro Nishishyat. One should not be a guru or a father unless he can deliver his dependents from birth and death, Vrishabhati is telling. So the guru not only cares for the spiritual welfare and upliftment of the disciple, his duty is to bring the disciple to perfection by his teachings, by his example, by his love, by his mercy. But moreover, the guru often cases he takes direct physical responsibility for the physical protection and development of the disciples. His disciples live in the Gurukul. The Gurukul is the house of the Guru, the home of the Guru. And in the traditional Vedic culture, oftentimes, or most of the time, the Gurukul was a Grihastha, and his wife was also there. He may be a rishi or sage, and very renounced and very learned, but he was married. So therefore, between he and his wife, they were very concerned with the physical development and nourishment, protection of the children or disciples, shishya, living in their care. So that's what's being said here. That Ishwarpuri, he was like a father. Mahaprabhu is telling, he says, my guru Maharaj, Ishwarpuri, he always favors me with parental affection. He's like a father for me. So a father cares for his child. He wants to protect his child. He wants to help his child, nourish his child. So Ishwarpuri could understand when he was leaving this world that his disciple, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was living in Puri and he could use a servant. He could use an assistant. Although Lord Chaitanya did not ask for any assistant, he didn't require any assistant, he didn't demand any assistant. But it was at this stage of his career, or stage of his life, his Leela, it would be very helpful for Lord Chaitanya, for his service, which during this Gambira Leela and this Puri Leela, his service was very much internal, called Antardasha. Antardasha, he was absorbed in internal consciousness, sometimes falling into the Bay of Bengal in the ocean in the middle of the night, running out on Rasa Purnima, a full moon night in Ashwin Maina, which is the Maharas dance, and seeing the full moon and remembering Vrindavan and thinking of the gopis and the damsels of Braj and the Rasa dance, Mahaprabhu would run across the beach at Aitota, behind Gundicha, Aitota, sand, thinking that that beach was Yamuna Pulin. He was thinking that this beach, this shore of the ocean, this sand in Puri was actually Yamuna Pulina. Yamuna Pulina is the banks of the Yamuna where the Rasa dance takes place. And seeing the full moon, he says, oh, this is a full moon night of the Sharad season. I'm in Vrindavan. This is the banks of the Yamuna. Where's my Krishna? Oh, he must be in the Yamuna. So Lord Chaitanya would run with the speed of lightning and jump in the ocean, start being tossed and turned and carried by the waves all the way to Konark. The whole time he was floating, he would go unconscious. He would go inside internal consciousness. And then in internal consciousness, he was experiencing, I've gone to Vrindavan, I'm in the Yamuna, I'm standing on the banks of the Yamuna, Radha and Krishna splashing water, I'm waiting to serve them. I'm standing on the shore with unguents and sandalwood and changes of cloth and flowers and sweets and everything ready for their service. And then the fisherman brings him up in the net and brings him to shore. Then Sri Damodar and Rai Ramananda, they rescue Lord Chaitanya. And they wake him up to external consciousness. And then he says, why you woke me? Why did you wake me? You have taken me from Vrindavan. I was in Vrindavan. Why have you taken me? So This is the mood that Guru Chaitanya was in, this deep mood of separation, so he needed some servant. Service is judged by his necessity. So then, Guru Chaitanya is recognizing the Guru's affection, parental affection. He says, oh, my Guru has so much love for me, he has sent Govinda Das to me. Ete shuni sarvabhama prabhure puchila purigo sanira shudra sevaka kanhena rakila. After saying this, Sarvabhama Bhattacharya asked Mahaprabhu, why did Ishwarpuri keep a servant who comes from a Shudra family? The Sarvabhama was curious because he is very much conscious of his own position in the Varnashram system as a Brahmanacharya. And so he was very much amazed that this high-class Brahmin, Ishwarpuri, who is now a sannyasi, he would keep such a low-class person, a servant from a Shudra family. Because Govindadas was initiated by Ishwarpuri, because he had all Vaishnava qualities. But by caste distinction, by social distinction, Govindadas came from a low-class Shudra family. He was really low-class. But the Guru judged him internally. Yes, he has qualification. He can really be a devotee. So then he brought him into his service. So these two devotees, Kashishwar and Govinda, were personal servants of Ishwarpuri. After Ishwarpuri's demise, Kashishwar went to visit all the holy places of India. Following the orders of his spiritual master, Govinda immediately went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for shelter. Govinda was a Shudra, but because he was initiated by Ishwarpuri, he was certainly a Brahmana. So then Sarvabhauma was inquiring, understanding this fact. He says, but how could Ishwarpuri accept a disciple from a Shudra family? So there's some rule about that in Smritis, that a Brahmana cannot accept a disciple from a lower caste. In other words, a Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra cannot be accepted as a servant. A spiritual master accepts such a person. If he does, he is contaminated. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya therefore asked why Ishwarpuri accepted a servant or disciple born of a Shudra family. So Mahaprabhu, he didn't accept that because Sarvabhauma was judging things externally, knowing the caste of Govindadas. He had some doubt. Mahaprabhu said, no, cast your doubts far away. Because this is what I consider. I consider that Ishwarpuri was so empowered, he had all the empowerment of Bhagavan. That Ishwarpuri was like Shaktivesh Avatar. He was Shaktivesh, he had all the Vesh, he was absorbed and had received Shakti from God. So Ishwarpuri was not a servant of any mundane rule or regulation. In other words, the Guru is above rules and regulations. These regulations of Varnashram Dharma. An empowered spiritual master like Ishwarpuri can bestow his mercy upon anyone, irrespective of his caste or creed. So empowered guru, authorized by his own guru, is as good as God himself. Sakshat Daritvena. So that's the point. Krishna Shakti Vine Nayatara Pravartan. So it goes on, this whole discussion. Prabhu kahi Ishvara haya parama swantantra Ishvara kripa nahi veda parantantra. Mahaprabhu said to Sarvabhauma, both God and my guru Ishwarpuri are independent, parama swantantra, topmost independent. Neither the mercy of God nor that of Ishwarpuri is subject to any Vedic rules and regulations. As we often say, mercy above justice, love above power. So here's another example of mercy above justice. The justice means the law. Justice, what is just, means the law of Shastra. The rules, the regulations, the Yama Niyam. You must do this, you must do that. You can't initiate a Shudra into a Vaishnava fold. But here, that's the law. But mercy is above that. If the Guru, empowered by the Lord, Or if the Lord Himself wants to extend His mercy and make some low-class person a Brahmin or a Vaishnava, He has that right. He has that power. That is His mercy. And whose mercy is it? It's actually the mercy of God. That's what they're saying here, that Ishvara Paramaswantantra Prabhukai, Ishvara Kripa. So the mercy of God is the Vedic scriptures. The Vedic scriptures and the rules and regulations of the Vedas, who made them? They're made by God. All the Vedas come from the breathing of Vishnu. But then that same Vishnu, that same God, Krishna, He can step over the law. The king is above the law. So when He steps over the law, or He modifies the law, then mercy above justice. God's mercy, Bhagavan Kripa, is above justice. Bhagavan Kripa, God's mercy, is above the law, above His own laws. The king makes the law. Anyone who steals in my kingdom will get his hands chopped off. So then his son-in-law goes out and steals. His daughter's husband goes out and steals some diamonds. So the justice is, the law is, the courts will say, your son-in-law must have his hands cut off. And then the king's daughter cries, oh, no, 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 that's not good. If you cut his hands off, then it's going to be awkward for me. I can't hold his hands. Can't hold hands with my husband. So then the daughter petitions the father. And the father bestows his mercy upon the son-in-law. He breaks the law. Mercy above justice. So then he says, oh, well, I make an exception in this case. There's a rule and there's the exception. There's a law and the exception. So the exception can only be implemented or utilized or enacted by the author of the law himself. Not that we make any whimsical exception and say, well, this is the adage. There's an exception to every law, and I'm making the exception right now. I'm going to give the exception. We don't have that freedom. But God, who made the law, He has the freedom to exempt the law, make the law exempt or defunct, or to make someone exempt from the law. That's called clemency or mercy or pardon. So this is a line of argument Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to use here. To my guru, he's representing Krishna's interest, but the mercy of God is not restricted to time and place. And that's what he says in the next verse. Ishvara Kripa Jati Kulari Namani Vidarera Gare Krishna Karila Bhojani. So Lord Chaitanya is going on. The mercy of God is not restricted to the jurisdiction of caste and creed. Vidura was a Shudra, yet Krishna accepted lunch in his home. So that's a famous story. But a Kshatriya is not supposed to take food from a lower class person. But Krishna did. Sneha lesha peksha matra Sri Krishna kripar Sneha vasha hanakare swatantrachar. Lord Krishna's mercy is dependent only on affection. Being obliged only by affection, Sri Krishna acts very independently. Affection, love moves the Lord, and the Lord moves everything. Maryada haite koti sukasne acharan paramananda haya jara namashravane. Mahaprabhu said, in conclusion, dealings with the personality of Godhead bring happiness millions of times greater than dealings with Him. Dealings in affection with the Supreme Lord bring happiness millions of times greater than dealings with Krishna and on revelation. Simply by hearing the holy name of the Lord, the devotees merge in transcendental bliss. Eta Bali Govindere Kaila Ailingan Govinda Karila Prabhur Charne Vandan. After saying this, Mahaprabhu embraced Govinda. And Govinda in turn offered his respectful obeisance unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet. You see how much great love and affection Lord Chaitanya has for his godbrother, Govinda, and for the living entities in general. Because by birth, by caste distinction, by birth, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a Brahmin, a very high-class Brahmin, Mishra, Bengali Brahmin, Mishra. And his father is very prestigious, and his lineage, Nilambara Chakravarti, etc., very distinguished and lineage of Brahmins, very educated pundits. So he had every right to be very proud and very much sectarian and separate, Swatantra. But he didn't feel like that. He didn't feel any pride. Oh, I was a great pundit. I was a Digvijay. You have to think, Lord Chaitanya was a Digvijay pundit. At the age of 10 years old, he became a Digvijay pundit. And he defeated Keshava Kashmiri. Keshava Kashmiri was an all-India pundit, all-arounder. He is an Olympic champion in Sanskrit, Naya, and Vidyalankar, and all these subjects. When he came to Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya, Nimai Pandit, the child genius, he defeated him. So he was such an illustrious person, so famous, so educated. Now he's so famous as being so renounced. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, big sannyasi. But was he too proud to embrace the Shudra godbrother? Oh, you're a Shudra, I can't embrace you. No, he warmly and happily embraced him and accepted him. Prabhukai Bhattacharya Karaha Vichar Gurura Kinkarahaya Manya Seyamar. Mahaprabhu continues speaking to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Consider this point. The servant of the spiritual master is always respectable for me. So he's saying, the servant of the spiritual master means the servant of Ishwarpuri, who is his guru, the servant of my spiritual master is always respectable for me. Another way of saying this, my god brothers are always respectable for me. The servants of the guru means the god brothers. So we should always respect the god brothers, he's telling here. This is what the guru or akin karahaya. Always feel oneself humble and always think of oneself as a servant of the spiritual master. Servant of the servant of the servant. Das, das, and das. Tanhare apana seva karaite na judai. Guru agyadiya chema ki kari upai. As such, it is not befitting that the guru's servant should engage in my personal service. That my spiritual master has given this order. What shall I do? So, a sadhu or a saintly person like Lord Chaitanya doesn't want to take service from anyone. He doesn't feel like that he's the enjoyer or he should receive any special attention. He wants to rather serve everyone else and at all costs avoid service, taking service from others. But he's saying, all right, even though it's not right, it doesn't seem right that my guru's servant should become my personal servant. Yet my spiritual master has given this order. What shall I do? This is the point. The guru's order is supreme. A guru's servants or disciples of a guru are all god brothers to one another, and as such they should all respect one another as Prabhu or master. No one should disrespect his god brother. Mahaprabhu asked Sarvabhauma what to do about Govinda. Govinda was a personal servant of Ishwarpuri, Mahaprabhu's spiritual master. Now Ishwarpuri had ordered Govinda to become Mahaprabhu's personal servant. What was to be done? This was the inquiry of Mahaprabhu placed before Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, an experienced friend. And tomorrow we'll find out what did Sarvabhauma say in response to all this about Lord Chaitanya accepting a god brother as his servant. That's not so much ever appreciated. A true devotee doesn't want to take service from anyone, and especially last and least of all his own godbrother, because he understands that the godbrother, godsister is the property of my guru. They're kinkaras, guru kinkara. They're guru kinkara, guru kinkari. They're servants of my guru. How can I be so audacious or so presumptuous or bold to think that to entertain the idea that I can engage a god brother in my service, or that I should? This is most pretentious and obnoxious viewpoint. Because the disciple belongs to Guru. He's Guru's property. He has a dog collar on his neck to identify him, Tulsi Mala. That's given at initiation. Three strands of Tulsi Mala are given by the Guru at initiation. And he ties it around the neck. Once for the past, once for the present, once for the future. All phases of time, I am binding all phases of time now with the bondage of this transcendental knowledge. And he fastens a clamp. So when he fastens that, there's no way that you can again enter into the material past, present, or future. All those three phases have become one. The three strands become one. And they're bond. The Guru binds it. So now we have to live in the present time, eternal time. The disciple lives in eternal time. Eternal time means nitya seva. Nitya Bhagavat sevaya. Serving Bhagavan and serving the devotees of Bhagavan eternally, forever. Starting here on this planet and going on to the higher planets, to the spiritual world, goes on forever. We call it nitya seva. Guru seva, Krishna seva is nitya seva. This is on the platform of the jiva. The jiva, sarupaya, Krishna, or nitya das. The jiva sarupa is nitya. The jiva seva is nitya. And Guru is that eternal guide, guardian, and preceptor who is engaging us in the eternal service of the Lord. So this is a position.